And then another favorite for our last song, number 93, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship.
Thank you. saints and angels song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, stretched from sky to sky. Love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and saints and angels.
Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Jonah. Gospel of Jonah, chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, lest them not feed. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat in the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? That's the gospel of Jonah. Wow, what a story. I read it again. It's always good to be familiar with this story in the Word of God. It's probably one of the most controversial books in the Bible. How often have people said, I can't believe that a fish would swallow a man and that he would spit him back up. I can't believe that story. Well, if you can't believe that, you can't believe a lot of other things either. And you do need to believe some things in order to be saved. And you need to know that God is the creator of all things and he can do anything. And I like what verse 9 says, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. So last week we looked at Jonah's commission, how the word of the Lord came to him, told him to arise, go and cry. And Jonah disobeyed and ran the other way, if you remember. And I would just like to say this. Some believe that by leaving the church or not joining church or moving away, that God won't continue to seek them for service. Oh, yes, he will. There's Jonah going the opposite direction of the way he's supposed to go. And the Lord brings a great wind, and the sea gets tempestuous, and Jonah asleep. In the bottom of the ship, God calls him out of that and works on him. If you are a Christian and running like Jonah, God will bring you back one way or another. Even if he has to send a storm after you, he will do it. One way or another, he will get you. We talked about why did Jonah flee. And you can see that in the last chapter. That's why I read the whole thing through, because you kind of have to read it all to realize what's going on. Back there in chapter 4, verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before you unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, a merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repentest thou of the evil. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, and for hundreds of years they were an enemy of the children of Israel. And so for Jonah, a prophet of Israel, to go to that city and preach to them that unless they repent, the city's going to be destroyed, he didn't want to do that. He would rather see them as a Gentile enemy be dealt with by God in as firm way as possible. And he says, wasn't this what I said when I was in the country? So it appears that Jonah argued with the Lord a little bit about going to Nineveh. And he says, I know what kind of God you are. You'll send me there to preach that message of doom and judgment, and you'll end up saving them and turning your repenting of what you're going to do. And I don't want to be part of that. I'm going the other way. And off he ran. He didn't want the Gentiles to share in the blessings of God to which he had come accustomed to. You know, God said to Abraham, who is the father of the Israelites, through you I will bless all the nations of the world. It's God's intention to bless all men through what he would eventually do through Abraham. And for Jonah to talk like this is not good. And, you know, we just got done talking about witnessing, handing out tracts, and being a witness for the Lord. You know what? Don't hold back what you have. And don't get so accustomed to what you have that you can't realize that others need it too. When was the last time you really had any concern at all for someone else who's lost? I would try to stir that up, all right? Stir up the burning embers that might be there. You need to get this fire back on you to want to witness and help people who are lost get saved. I hope that you will get stirred up. When was the last time you shared what you have with someone who doesn't have it? When was the last time? You say, I just don't get those opportunities too much. Ask the Lord to give you the opportunities. He wants to use you. Maybe you've fallen asleep like Jonah and gone in the other direction. You have no intention to tell anybody about it. Well, the Lord may have to send a storm your way, stir you up and get you to realize you need to help and help people come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. The Apostle Peter had to be taught same lesson in Acts chapter 15. If you remember, no, not in Acts chapter 10, he had to learn that God now wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. And he gave them that vision of a great sheet let down from heaven with all kinds of animals in it, both clean and unclean. And the Lord told Peter, arise, slay, and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. You know, don't say no to the Lord. You know, when the Lord tells you to do something, don't say not so, Lord. You should say, yes, sir. Okay. And get into the marching for the Lord in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. I'm in the Lord's army. Right. That's what you need to do. He had to learn. For while the Lord was teaching him that with that vision, there were men on their way to his house knocking on his door. Peter, there's a Gentile man named Cornelius who has seen in a vision an angel telling him to send for you. You will have words by which he can be saved. And the Spirit told Peter, you get up and go with those men. And he went. He paid a price because the Jews round about him were upset with him going to the Gentiles with the gospel. And they questioned whether he should be doing that or not. And he had to declare, look, I learned a lesson. God is no respecter of persons, but whosoever believes can have everlasting life. And Jonah, he's running the other way. How about you? You doing the same thing? You need to, how horrible for a Christian to think that only certain people can be saved. Oh, it's not right. And I hope you don't have any prejudices that keep you from sharing the gospel with people of any ethnicity. Doesn't matter. Any color of skin, it doesn't matter. We need to share the good news with other people. What makes us so more special than anybody else? Nothing. We're all sinners, and we can be all saved by faith in Christ. Now, Jonah is also a type of Israel in the tribulation time. You look at this whole story here, you can see Israel symbolized by Jonah and the things that he goes through. After the rapture of the church, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation on this earth. 70 weeks have to be dealt with, and there's 1 week left to do. And that's a 7-year period. And during this time, Israel is a cup of trembling to the Gentiles because they're disobedient and they're a backsliding nation from the Lord. And God's going to have to bring trouble to them, just like Jonah, all right? Jonah, the nation of Israel, got to go through some trouble, a storm and everything. Jonah's disobedience has these Gentile mariners in trouble. His disobedience has all these guys in the ship in big trouble. And they're praying out to their gods and everything. It says there was a mighty tempest. Every man cried unto his own god. Apparently, these men were from various nations. And here they are all working on their ship. And they're all praying their own god. I wonder how many gods there were there that they were praying to, none of which could hear or listen to them. But you know who the problem is? Jonah. In the tribulation time, I know the nations of the world are being dealt with by God. Their idolatry and their wickedness and everything. And the Antichrist rising up from the midst of them and everything. And God's dealing with the Gentiles. But you know what? There's a little nation causing a lot of problems too. A little Jonah there called Israel. And they're asleep, and they don't know that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, is their Messiah. And they're going through a lot of trouble. Another thing, Jonah can also actually, in another way, be a type of Christ as well. Now, we know he's a type of Christ. Even Jesus says, as he was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But look at verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Jonah says, let me die, that you all might be saved. I know this is all because of me. And our Savior Jesus Christ came into this world, folks, and he took our sins and our sorrows and our griefs, our iniquity, upon himself. And he paid the price that the sea would be calmed and the judgment would not come upon us. And I'm glad for a Savior Jesus Christ who gave himself that I might be saved and I can know I'm going to heaven. And the judgment upon this earth is not going to be on me. It was already put upon my Savior, Jesus Christ. So there, in a tiny way, Jonah is a type of Christ, but also a type of Israel in the midst of the tribulation, causing a lot of trouble. And the mariners then depict the lost state of Gentiles. Look at verse 13. All right, they hear what Jonah says. They hear the plan of salvation for themselves, okay? He says, throw me in and everything will be fine. Nevertheless, isn't this like sinners? They won't accept the plan of salvation. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was impetuous against them. Yeah, the mariners in that boat, the other men in that boat, okay, depict for us the lost state of Gentiles and may very well depict your lost state if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. If you're listening to me on the internet and you sit there and you're not saved, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in a lot of ways you're like these men on the boat with Jonah. Every man cries unto his own God. You might say, well, I have my own idea of what God is like, and I'll just go with that. Thank you. No, you need Jonah, okay? You need to throw him into the sea so that the sea will come. You need Jesus. He died on the cross for your sin. He paid the price so that God's judgment won't come upon you. Let him save you. Nevertheless, they cry every man unto his God. And after hearing the only way of salvation, they try to work for it. They try to work for it. Look at there, verse 13. What'd they do? They rowed hard. Tried to bring it to land. Tried to save themselves. But the sea was working against them. And they could not save themselves. You know what? If you're sitting there today listening to me and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Titus chapter 3 verse 5 has something to say to you. And let me read this. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Well, I'll try my best. I'll go to church. I'll be religious. I'll do good deeds. I'll try. You know, I'm sure God will look favorably upon me if I try to do as much good as I can. You know, you try to save yourself. You don't realize you're lost. That storm is going to take you under and you're all going to drown in the sea if you don't take God's plan, which is throw Jonah overboard. Okay? God's plan of salvation is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sin. Well, that's a nice story, but I'll try my best to... wait a minute. Go with me to Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 10. And there's a passage of scripture I want to read to you. So if you can go there and take a look at this and be aware of it being in the Bible, that's a good thing. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4 to begin with. Brethren, this is Paul, a Jew, praying for his own people, the people of Israel. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, could that be you? Trying to establish your own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. What's the righteousness of God? Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that, what does it say, folks? Believeth. Doesn't say worketh, that believeth. And then to go over to chapter 11 and verse 6, there's very few verses that show the contrast between works and grace than this one. You just can't get away from it. You know, if you know the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, a lot of people know that song, okay? They always want to sing it whenever something nationally happens bad or there's a tragedy. Everybody wants to sing Amazing Grace. And it's like as if they don't even know what it means. They're singing a song they don't even know what it means. For most of them think that they're good enough to get to heaven and that they're religious enough. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 6. And if by grace, all right, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. All right, if by grace, then it is no more of what? Works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And in parentheses to explain further, although New Modern Versions leave the rest of this verse out, okay? But in parentheses it says this, but if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise work is no more work. I don't know if that makes sense. Maybe you have to read it a couple times, 3-4 times before you grab a hold of it. I would like to ask a lot of the people that love to sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved, hear that? That saved a wretch. Hear that? Wretch like me. I'd like to ask them after they're done singing, so then, if you died right now, do you know for sure where you're going to spend eternity? And here's the answer back most of the time. Well, I hope so. Well, I think I'm doing enough. I think I'm good enough. Oh, wait a minute. Amazing. You just sang Amazing Grace. Grace is undeserved favor. And now you're telling me, I hope so. I'm trying my best. Wait a minute. It's either grace or it's works. It can't be both. And grace is not work. And work is not grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Oh, man. I'd like to see you go to your employer and work it that way. And say, well, boss, here I am. But you don't need to pay me at the end of the day because I work for grace. I'll be gracious today. The boss says, yeah, well, are you going to work? Well, yeah. Well, that's the same thing, isn't it? He'd look at you like, what are you, crazy or something? If you work today, I have to pay you for that work. If you can work your way to heaven, then I have to give you heaven as your payment. But there's nobody who can do that. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You guys either throw Jonah over the boat or you're all going to die. You either trust Jesus Christ who died on the cross or there is no salvation anywhere else. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins if you turn from the cross. That's in Hebrews. If you understand the context correctly, that's what it's teaching. Either come to the cross or there's no other way. Oh, I hope you've settled that in your heart. I hope that you have the full assurance in your heart that I'm saved because of what God did through His Son who died for me on the cross. And all I need to do is believe that, accept it as my own, and it applies to me for salvation and forgiveness of sins. I hope you understand that. If I should ask you after the preaching service is over, if you died today, would you go to heaven? I hope your response would never be, well, I hope so. Because if you say you hope so, there's something missing. You're thinking there's something else you got to do or accomplish in order to make it sure. And there is nothing else you can do to make it sure. You can't make it more sure than what God has done through His Son on the cross. All right. Well, finally, when they come God's way, the mariners, that is, in the boat with Jonah, finally, when they come God's way, they are saved. Look at that. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, oh, don't put this man's life on our account. Please don't hold us accountable for this. Lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. You know what? That's the way you have to come. You have to come God's way. Jonah told you, he serves the true God, the one who made the heaven and the sea that right now is in tempest, turbulent, going to kill you if you don't do something about this. My God made the sea. Oh, Lord, these mariners finally say, we realize that you do whatever you please. Obviously, you're working on this man, and he's the reason why this storm is here. He told us the way to calm the sea is to throw him into the sea. We're going to do that because apparently that's what you want to be done. You know what? You got to come to Christ the same way. I've heard people say this. I don't like the idea that somebody has to die for me. Well, then guess what? There's no other way. Then you're going to have to die in your sin and be separated from God forever. Somebody has to take your place. And that's Jesus. And you need to humble yourself. And don't be so braggadocious about your ability to be accepted by God the way you are. You need to humble yourself and realize you're a sinner who's lost like these mariners. We're going to die, Lord, unless we do what you say to do. And so don't hold this against us. We're going to throw him over. So they took Jonah, verse 15, cast him forth into the sea. and the sea ceased from her raging. How about that? Just as God through Jonah said. And these men, what did they do? The men feared the Lord exceedingly. They feared the Lord exceedingly. That's the way the Bible puts it. They just couldn't be thankful enough. And they were in awe of this God, of the man they just throw overboard. Exceedingly fearing this God, they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. I don't know, how do you offer a sacrifice on a boat? Well, you know what? When you've been saved the way they were saved, you find a way to thank God and serve Him. Let me just go down a rabbit trail a little bit here, okay? You know, when you get saved, you find a way to thank the Lord for saving you and to put your own bodies on the altar of sacrifice to serve Him any way you possibly can. You just find a way to do that. And you know what? In the New Testament age that we live in, one of the most important ways in which you do that is through your local assembly of believers. You know, a lot of people are saying they're getting saved today, but they have no time for church. There's a big disconnect going on. Get saved, okay, and I'll live the rest of my life the way I want, however I feel. Wait a minute. There's a thing called church that Jesus Christ ordained and instituted for all those who have trusted in Him and followed in Him, the way of salvation, for them to become a part of. I'm going down a rabbit trail, all right, all right. How did you get there from the book of Jonah? You know what? If you were bypasser in another boat going, you know, rowing past this boat, of course, you'd have probably sunk in the storm as well, okay? And you saw what God had done. You would see these men sacrificing, making promises. God of Jonah, I don't know how they did this. I don't know. It's a one little verse there. They feared the Lord exceedingly and made sacrifices and made vows. Okay, that's all it says. What if you floated by this boat at that time? You know what? These guys are crazy. What are they doing? They're making a sacrifice there on the boat. That's weird. That's unusual. Listen to the cries of those men. Oh, God, thank you for saving us. You know, whatever they were saying. They were making vows unto God up in heaven. If you could overhear them. The same thing is true for us when we get saved. We should be wanting somehow, some way, to express our thanksgiving and our love to the one who saved us from the awful sea of God's wrath. And God, through Christ, has instituted a place for you to do that. It's not on a boat out in the middle of the ocean like these men. It's in what we call church. We need to emphasize that more. As we go down, and as we see the day approaching, we need to emphasize fellowship and church time more and more. And we need to be there. Well, you know, I got some better things. These men didn't have any better things to do. Hey, guys, cut it out. Enough of this worshiping the God of Jonah. Let's get the boat back and we got to get gone our way. They feared the Lord exceedingly, sacrificing, making vows. They could care less what direction they were going in. They were saved. Amen, they were saved. Now, you see, boy, you're putting a lot in there from one little verse. Forgive me if you think I am doing it on purpose. You and I need, in a very similar manner, maybe not as crazy as they may have looked that day, but in a way, we need to be like them. Let's serve the Lord. And how do you do it? Inside the local assembly of believers. I know of no other method, place, fellowship that the Bible tells us about than church. And when the church is meeting, you should not be at some other worldly affair. You should be where the believers are. Now, preacher, you're getting on my... Too bad. As we see the day approaching, I'm going to preach it even more. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And sad to say, the manner of a lot is. But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but I see the day approaching. What day? The end times. The day when the Lord's going to rapture us home to be with Him. And then, of course, 7 years later, Battle of Armageddon. And during the 7 years, the Antichrist and all that. Folks, this is coming. It's coming. It's like a snowball going down a hill, getting bigger and bigger and bigger, faster and faster. It's coming. If you don't see it, then okay, then you don't need to go to church. But if you do see it, you need to be in fellowship with the saints. And a church needs everybody there so it can be vibrant and living and strong and a testimony to the world. You know, our meeting here right now is a testimony to this lost world that there is nothing more important to us right now than us getting together and singing and fellowshipping, hearing the preaching of the Word of God. These men, boy. Yeah, well, you know, they're going, no pun intended when I say this, they're going overboard. I don't see any of you laughing. You didn't think that was funny? They were going overboard for the Lord. And Jonah was the one who went overboard, and they were having the blessing as a result of it. Next time we'll get Jonah into that great fish's belly, all right? We'll get there. And that's another message altogether on its own. For 3 days... 3 nights, just as our Savior, 3 days and 3 nights. This is no fairy tale. Jonah and the whale is no fairy tale. It's a real, real story. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, you just go ahead in your unbelief. Jesus believed it. And you know who else? A whole lot of people called Nineveh believed it. They believed it. Well, that was in the old... Oh, no. This repentance of Nineveh is also mentioned in the New Testament. It's an example to any who do not believe that someday the men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment against you, it says. Woo! You better believe this. Well, I can't believe that a whale swallowed Jonah. Oh, you better. There's a whole lot of other things in the Bible that you're not going to believe either. Like three young youths thrown into a fiery furnace. And when the king looked in, he saw a fourth man in the fire with them. And it was Jesus. Oh, I can't believe it. Oh, boy. You're an unbeliever. So you're an unbeliever, all right. And until you see that you're one of those mariners in a boat ready to go down, you better believe. You better believe in Jesus Christ. All right, let's take our songbook number 29 there, Jason, if you come. You got to let him in. You got to let Jesus Christ into your heart and soul and let him save your lost soul. Believe on him and be ye saved. Just like Jonah, Jesus died for you on the cross. Number 29, let's stand as we sing. If you're on the internet listening, you need to trust Jesus Christ where you're at. Trust and believe in Him as your Savior. Let us know about it if you do. If you're here today and need help on trusting Christ, step forward and meet me down here at the front. We'll have someone help you trust Christ as your Savior. Number 29. There's a stranger at the door. Let him in. He has been there oft before. Let him in. Let him in ere he is gone. Let him in the Holy One. Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Let him in. Open now to him your heart. Let him in. If you wait, he will depart. Determine. We're going to serve the Lord. No care what the world thinks about it. Don't care what they think. Maybe we're weird or overboard for the Lord. Let them think that. We're so glad to be saved. We want to serve you all the days of our life, and so much the more as we see the days approaching. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.